This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the Morning Run with Shaoning and Chuang. We're going to have a call very soon with Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank. He's going to tell us where markets are heading. But let's have a quick peek at the Bursa Malaysia. What's it doing now, Chuang?
Well, it slumped into negative territory intraday, down 0.1% to 1536, led by Top Glove, which is a post-split this morning and down by quite some quantum, accounting for about 271 million ringgit worth of trade this morning.
Looks like the traders or investors are locking in some of their gains. But meanwhile, Bursa Malaysia, of course, has seen record volumes with a peak of 27.8 billion securities traded for 7.8 billion in value on the 10th of August. In fact, interest on our local bonds has heightened. From January till July this year, new central depository system accounts opened soared by 125% to 218,000 from 97,000 accounts opened in the same period last year. However, is this rise in retail interest warranted when we look at the earnings of listed companies? And does that still matter? To help us answer that complex question and also how we should navigate these volatile markets, we speak to Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank. Thank you for joining us this morning, Alex. Now, earnings season for Malaysia has just come to a close. We might be stating the obvious that the MCO is probably the most likely cited reason for the weak earnings. But looking at things on a more granular basis, which sectors actually disappointed the most?
I mean, you're right in saying that the MCO was one of the main reasons given for, the companies that reported losses or generally weaker than expected results. And really, that should come as no surprise. But I think in general, we had, autos, REITs, media, transport, construction, gaming, healthcare, property, generally all reporting, below expectation numbers, whereas the financial sector, i.e. the banks, were somewhat mixed.
Yeah, Alex, let's look forward, which is obviously the most important direction for investors, and the upgrades, which is obviously the more important one because we can't short stocks. Which sectors do you think will improve in the second half where the recovery is supposed to be expected?
Okay, I mean, if you listen to the guidance that was offered by management, and the ones that we pay attention to, in particular, are the ones from the banks, right? Given that they are supposed to have the pulse of the economy, and really the guidance that was offered was still somewhat tentative. While we can all appreciate that the restart of the global and local economies are clearly a positive for businesses and for industries, but I think the visibility on the sustainability and the strength of the rebound is still somewhat limited at this juncture. So, they were all, while they were all expressing some degree of, confidence that things have been improving in recent months, as to whether or not this would, likely continue, improving further, is something that they were still, somewhat careful to be too overly optimistic on.
But Alex, very simply, do you think the worst is over then for markets in
terms
of earnings?
Well, definitely. I mean, I think, you can't really, have a situation where things are going to get worse than what it was during the MCO when everything was shut, right? I mean, where 80% of the economy was actually shut down and everybody was forced to stay home. So, with the restart and, the continuation of the RMCO where some normalcy returns to life and in general, then on a sequential basis you would definitely expect things to improve on a quarter on quarter basis, and our base case scenario is that this continues through the second half of 2020 and moving into 2021, but of course we cannot rule out totally a resurgence of COVID-19 infections, God forbid, and the resumption of the MCO in a worst case kind of scenario. I mean, we've seen that in some jurisdictions like Beijing, Melbourne, and so on. Hopefully that doesn't happen here. So the measures that have been put forward by the Ministry of Health have been somewhat reassuring. We're also still trying to keep a close eye on how things progress from that perspective.
So aside from a resurgence of the COVID-19 pandemic, what do you think are the other key risks to the Malaysian equity market?
Okay, I think what market observers are looking forward to in the current month is obviously the FTSE Russell decision on whether Malaysia gets to retain its weightage in the World Government Bond Index. So right now, we have a relatively small weightage of about 0.4%. But of course, if in the worst case scenario, if we get booted out of the index, then we could potentially see $7 to $8 billion of outflows from the bond market, and that will have a knock-on impact on dollar ringgit, and obviously have an impact on how whether or not foreign funds continue selling out of Malaysia. So, that would be the key near-term concern. Of course, our base case is that FTSE Russell retains Malaysia in the WGBI. And other risk, obviously, is, as we come to the end of the loan moratorium by the end of September, then the concern here is, how households and small businesses will manage post the end of the loan moratorium, and whether how the banks will be impacted in the quarters and months to come. So that is obviously something that we're all paying close attention to, and of course the rest of the issues are very much politics, related to politics and geopolitics in particular.
Okay, Alex, so given your rosier outlook in the second half, what are your top picks going forward for Bursa?
Okay, I think in the short term, investors are still very much, having the mindset that they want to remain nimble, which means that in the near term, the market will continue to retain very much of a trading bias, where people are looking at situational stocks and stuff like that, right? But of course, moving a little bit further forward, and when we expect more vaccine-related news to continue hitting the market, and particularly in terms of which of the various trials that are currently ongoing are going to be successful, and how quickly those vaccines will be rolled out to the rest of the world. And so as we get that, then we expect that, the sentiment surrounding the healthcare sectors, and especially the gloves, which has been the main driver of the market this year, will have some impact on the glove stocks, and that will have an impact on the CI. But of course, the vaccine-related news will help to shift the focus towards a more, greater confidence, give greater confidence towards a cyclical recovery. So, further out, we expect to see this vaccine-related news driving the migration of funds out from the gloves and back into the cyclicals. So, we think that now is the time to start looking at for quality and value cyclical names to position yourself when the entry point is right.
All right. Sorry, we've run out of time. Thank you very much, Alexander Chia, Regional Head of Research at RHB Investment Bank, saying that, hey, maybe it's time to look at the cyclical quality names as the news of a vaccine comes out, right? So, but that's all the corporate news we have for you this morning. We're heading into the 9:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.